Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Remember to get all the updated episodes. Go to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. Today's episode, I have a special guest, Diego Martinez. He's Republican candidate for California governor. He's crazy enough to run in a state that needs a Republican to run it. Welcome, Diego. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me aboard. It's an honor to be on your program all the way over there in New York City from California. It's an honor to be with you.
I'm happy to have you. So listen, Diego, tell everyone about yourself and why you're making this wild and crazy decision to run for the governor of the great state of California.
Well, my name is Diego Martinez. I was born in Uruguay. I'm an immigrant. Came here when we were 6 years old. Before I say much more, I got to tell you, America is the greatest country in the world. I don't care what part of America you're at, whether you're in the East Coast where you're at or West Coast where I'm at. This is the only country, and you got to be able to say this, and you got to thank Donald Trump and a lot of this, what I'm going to say next. I am proud to be an American, and I'm proud to be in this free country. And what I mean free is the ability to do anything that you want. You know, we talk about Brooks. We talk about the ghetto. We talk about the bad neighborhoods. Well, I grew up in them. We come from South America. We're immigrants. My mom raised five of us on a waitress salary. So you can only imagine what kind of life we grew up, but we were always loved, went to church. We went and got told, everybody used to tell you, you'll be nobody. You'll end up to nobody. You're nobody now. You'll end up to nobody, right? But I had a friend tell me, the only person holding you back is yourself. Go look in the mirror. You're the only person that's holding you back from having anything you want in this world. I've always kept that in mind. And we've been able, there's five of us. My youngest sister was born here. We're all successful. We all have houses. We all make good money. We came from nothing to be able to do something. Now, when you talk about immigrants, that's what immigrants come to the United States for. And it's a shame that people who are born in this country take that for granted and want to use words like suppress, can't, color, race, or some other idiotic thing that they want to think of to make an excuse for the bottom line. You're damn lazy. Get off your ass and go to work. Put your head down and get educated, and you can do anything in this world that you want to. And you're talking to a kid who used to sleep outside our house. Our roads outside were in better shape. And California roads are bad. We're in better shape than the floor we slept in a house that was made out of cement blocks. Okay? Yeah. No glass on the windows, no running water, no electricity. And I'm running for governor of California. Only in America can you do that. And I'm proud to be here, and I'm grateful for the late Ronald Reagan, who allowed my family and gave us an opportunity with his immigration reform program in the 80s to allow me to be able to do what I'm doing today.
That's great. And, you know, you're a successful businessman. We know you're in the auto industry. You own your own business, doing in the bail bonds business. You came from nothing. You're self-made. I was born in this country. I came from nothing. I was self-made. My parents did not have money. I don't come from white privilege. I don't come with a silver spoon in my mouth and all of that nonsense that they talk about and they want to throw. Well, because I'm white, I have these opportunities. Because even I have so many friends, whether they're Hispanic or Black, that are very successful, some more successful than myself. And they came from the same neighborhood I did. And they made themselves, and you can do whatever you want, like you said. You get up, you put your pants on in the morning, you go to work. Unfortunately, now we have an administration that is paying people too much money to stay home, where there are businesses that can't even afford, they can't get people to come to work. There are restaurants near me, Diego, that can't open for dinner service on certain nights of the week because they don't have the help to come to work to keep that business running, where there are restaurants that 70 and 80-year-old couples have owned almost their whole lives that they have to bus tables at 70 and 80 years old because they can't get waitresses, waiters, cooks, chefs, busboys to come to work because they're getting paid good money from our government to stay home and sit on mommy's couch and play Xbox all day. So you're not a politician. We know that. You're an immigrant. You're a citizen of this country. You're business oriented, and you're running for governor. So we know that California is, at least from what I know, being in New York and read and hear, is it's a disaster because the current governor, the Democratic politics. I mean, he's still with the mask mandates, right? And then the economy shutdowns, destroying businesses, marching to his own drum like he doesn't care. He has his own rules. Newsom, what a weasel that guy is. So where do you stand on getting California back up and running, the economy going, getting rid of these ridiculous shutdowns and mask mandates? What are we going to do to make California the state that it should be?
Well, it's very simple. First thing we're going to do is vote yes on the recall and check off Diego Martinez. Why would you want to vote for an immigrant? Why would you want to vote for somebody like Diego Martinez, who has no political experience whatsoever, very little name recognition on what I've been spending my own dime since 2020 because I'm self-funding my damn campaign right now. So it's been a little tough. But why would you want to vote for me? Because I'm the only Republican that's going to tell you two next things that I'm going to tell you. First, when you vote for me, you're not just voting for me, you're voting for an investment in your future. Because the hardest thing in California or anywhere in the United States right now is voter fraud, election integrity. You have it everywhere you go. Well, Gavin Newsom did us a favor. I'll say Gavin Newsom did us a huge favor right now. Our Secretary of State got appointed by him. Our Attorney General got appointed by him. Both of those people, one's working for Joe Biden, and the other one decided to go be the senator that took Kamala Harris's spot.
Right.
So how did he do us a favor? Appointed means you're working for the discretion of the governor of California or the governor of any state. If you replace the new governor has the right to replace you. So people want to talk about voter integrity, voter fraud. You want to fix that? Get me into office, because the second thing after I get sworn in, after I tell everybody, open your businesses, get rid of the stupid mask mandates, let's go to work. California's 100% open. Wear a mask if you want to, and if you don't. But open your businesses, open up for business, because we're open now. I'm going to walk down the hallway. I'm going to dismiss the Secretary of State, and then I'm going to go right behind her, and I'm going to dismiss our Attorney General. My new Secretary of State's number one and only thing to do, voter integrity in the state of California, and I want it done before the 22 election, and my Attorney General is going to write the law where you need voter ID to come vote. You need to prove you're a U.S. citizen. You need to prove that you live in that district, and you need to prove that you're alive to vote in the state of California. Okay? Those are just enough for you to vote for me. That's not even talking about immigration, water, deregulating California so we can actually get businesses back into California so we can go back to work. And we'll get into all that just in a minute.
It's interesting with the voter ID. I talk about this a lot, and it's amazing how something so simple as voter ID can trigger these leftists. I can't even call them liberals. I call it the sick woke left, and in where they think it's racist. And I say it from time and time again. It's not racist to require an identification, which most people have. It's racist to say that black people, Hispanics, minorities can't get ID because they can't afford it. So I always go back to this. There's a video, Ami Horowitz, he does video, he's on Fox all the time. He does these short videos. He did one on voter ID. He went to Berkeley, California, and spoke to a lot of college kids on campus. I think majority of them were white, and he was asking them do you think requiring voter ID is racist? And every single one of them, in one way or another, said yes. But the responses on why were unbelievably racist. They ranged from because black people can't afford cell phone data and cell phone plans to, well, most black people don't know where the DMVs are, and they don't really know how to go and get ID, or they can't pay for internet service at their home, somebody said. So that was the first part of the video. The second part of the video, he goes to East Harlem, New York, and he asks about a half dozen African-American people on the street. And here he is, Lily White, Jewish, Ami Horowitz, walking up to people saying, excuse me, ma'am, do you have an ID? And they say, yeah. And then he asks, do you think it's racist to require voter ID? They all said no. And then he would tell them, well, these are responses from people, from white people saying, well, they think it's racist because they think people like you with your skin color have no idea where the local DMV is or can't afford a cell phone or can't afford internet at your home. And every single one that he asked had ID, repeated the street that the local DMV was on, all have cell phones like every other human with unlimited data. They all work, they all pay their bills, and if they didn't have their driver's license, they had a government ID. So somebody please tell me how voter ID is racist. You can't. It's not. There's no aptitude testing. You don't have to guess how many jelly beans are in the jar to vote. You just need to prove who you are and that you have a pulse so you can vote. Not a really big deal, but unfortunately, it's a big deal for that. But it's not a big deal to say, well, you need to prove that you're vaccinated to go to a baseball game, but you don't have to prove who you are with voter ID to go and do the most patriotic thing you can possibly do as an American citizen and exercise your right to vote. It is unbelievable. And if you do succeed and become governor, I can't wait to see you sign that into law that you need voter ID, because it needs to happen. It's ridiculous.
Well, here's the catch. And this is what I tell everybody when they say you're racist because you want voter ID. I said, did you go buy beer today? You need to go tell that clerk he's racist because I know he checked your ID. Exactly. Cigarettes, get on a plane. Go to the bank and actually get your own money out. You got to show ID. So if it's racist and black people don't have driver's license or IDs, how are we profiling them when we pull them over? They can't drive. They don't have IDs, remember? Come on. It's a joke. It's a directive, reflective, stupid word that they use, because the word racism doesn't exist anymore. They have outplayed it. They have killed that word to every meaning. And somebody could argue with me, I'm Hispanic. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race you are. I care that you do things the right way and we succeed in this world. That's all I care about. You will never hear me say black unemployment is at its lowest, Mexican unemployment, Asian unemployment. You know why? Because I don't give a damn what color you are. I care that you're a Californian and you're unemployed and you're actually making a good living. My State of the Union address is exactly that. I want to be able to say our welfare rate is as low as it's ever been across the board. Our employment rate is at its lowest it will ever be because everybody's working. I don't care. I care that you're a good citizen and you come to work, you pay your taxes, your fair share of taxes, because we got to lower California taxes because we're getting raped right now on taxes. But that's what I want to address the world in. Get rid of that, of your color, your creed, your sex, of all the applications. I don't want to see it there anymore, because that's racism. It's racism that you got a 4.0 GPA and because you're white, you can't go to this college because I'm the Hispanic with 3.5, but they don't have enough Hispanics, so they need one more in there. That's racist.
Yeah, my problem is with what the left stands for today is all of this segregation by identity groups, whether it's at college campuses, major corporations, airlines, everyone's saying, well, we're going to hire 50% minorities because like we have a quota, not because these people are qualified to fly a plane or do whatever task that that job requires. It's not merit based anymore. They want it based on the color of their skin. And I want to talk, we're going to talk about this more later on, because we're going to get into the children and the critical race theory nonsense that's going on in this country. But before that, I wanted to actually touch on, I wanted to touch on what's going on, excuse me, at the southern border. Now, I know California has a part that's down. I'm ignorant when it comes to California, except what I read. I've never been to the state. The furthest I've been is Nevada. I'm going to have to visit at some point. But I know it. I see a lot what's going on at the southern border, Texas, Arizona, and that area. Is the illegal immigration since the new administration has taken office, has Southern California seen an influx of the illegal immigrants, illegal alien? I'm going to call them illegal aliens. That's what they are. And I know everyone says, oh, that's a racist term, but that's what they are. Them coming into the border from California, and what's going on down at the border in California? That because I never hear anything. Nobody ever hears anything about the border in California. Does anything happen there?
You know why you don't hear anything about the border in California? Because you got the San Diego ex-mayor running for governor of California. Nobody wants to talk about California. So California borders Tijuana and borders Mexicali. So we're right on the border. We are a border state, just like Texas, just like Arizona. The shame is this, everybody, and this is why, do not ever vote for a career politician, because the reason your state, my state, every state's in the problem that's in is because of career politicians. It's not because a businessman took over and ruined it all. It's been going on because we keep voting the same damn people in. So you have a career politician who wants to run for governor of California. So instead of going to his own backyard that he was supposed to be protecting and taking care of, he flew over to Laredo, Texas, to talk about the border crisis, because it's easier to show that the problem is somewhere else, not in your own backyard. You did such a great job. You couldn't stand up to Newsom. How am I expecting you to stand up to Joe Biden? Okay, we can talk about him a different day, because it bothers me that much that you have the power to fix something, but you don't. So our border problems are really severe right now, and the reason they are is because our idiot president said, come on, you have 100 days to come on over and we're going to let you in. There's no more borders. Kamala Harris, our VP, who's in charge of the border crisis now, but there is none, said, come on, there's no borders. Come on in. We're welcoming everybody. Okay, well, that stopped. First of all, that was a lie. Then what they did is they allowed the kids in only. Okay? No parents, just kids. Now, you ever hear the thing human trafficking? Sex trafficking?
Of course.
Where do you think it starts? So what they're doing is they're flying kids from Laredo, Texas to California, to New York and other places. They're asking for families to take care of them or somebody to take care of them.
Right.
Nobody ever follows up. Nobody knows where those kids are. Where do you think those kids are ending up? Now, just think about it. You send your kid and you let them cross the California border. In 3 years, you can come here and you go look for them. They're not here. They're in New York. They're somewhere else. And they're being used for sex trafficking. It's a shame that our government has a hand in it. And you got to wonder this. Why did the Republican Party betray Trump? Why were they begging for his endorsement? And a week later, they voted to impeach him.
A lot of could rhinos.
We call them rhinos, right? Yeah. I got a better one for you. Could it be that he was cleaning out the swamp and their name was coming up?
Hey, and it's possible. It's absolutely possible.
So there's... we have a border crisis, and the vice president is supposed to go down there and look. She hasn't even been down there. I don't even think she knows where the border is.
It's great that she just went down to Guatemala or in Mexico, and how she claimed that she's been to the border, and she did that nonsense. What was it on NBC? How she couldn't answer the question right. She blatantly lied and said, we've been to the border. I've been to the border. Well, you haven't been to the border. You know, he had said, and she, well, I haven't been to Europe. And she did her Kamala Harris cackle that she's famous for. And then she goes to Guatemala And in Guatemala, they have signs that tells her, go home, mind your business, Trump won. And she was basically abused by the presidents there that said, you know, this is your fault of what's going on. So, you know, I got a little bit of more of an education recently on the show. I had the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona, Sheriff Mark Lamb on the show. And he was telling me that they're about 70 miles from the border in Pinal County. And he said they're getting so many, the increase in drug trafficking is unbelievable. In Texas, you're seeing a lot of the human trafficking, sex trafficking. I mean, what was it, like a month ago? I think it was in Houston. They had that house. They had like 90 people in the house. It wasn't all over the news. A few of them ran it, a blip here, a blip there. It was on Fox. And as far as the children, these cartels have gotten so smart over the years and able to manipulate the United States government and overwhelm the Border Patrol, where they can send caravans of children to the border to get processed and turn all of those border agents into glorified paperwork processors to process all those children, to take the resources to concentrate on that of the Border Patrol while other areas of the wall are open. And it's an open highway, open economy for the drug cartels, for the human traffickers that are making millions and millions of dollars a day. The only thing Joe Biden has successfully done in this presidency is open up and make the economy strong for drug traffickers and human traffickers of the cartels. They are making unbelievable money because the border wall was stopped. It's like they want to erase the border. Mm-hmm. And it's scary because you have a governor like Governor Abbott in Texas that's using his resources, using the Texas Rangers, the Texas Department of Public Security, the National Guard, and they have to declare states of emergency to protect the border because the federal government is failing to do so.
It's better for them to stand behind me and show me some support, because the first thing we're doing, we're going to finish the wall. And I'm going to say something funny so your listeners all the way in the East Coast can laugh. Mexico will pay for it. We heard that before, right? Now I'm going to tell you how Mexico is going to pay for it. Okay? There's a difference. Trump never got into this, but I will. Every dollar I seize at the border, which is $15 million a week, it's going to go to border security, finishing the wall and getting more border guards on the front line. We will shut down the border because I'm going to do an immigration reform program for the state of California. And I know some idiot who was running for governor said, all of you guys, the Supreme Court just said there's no legal way into going into stop promising these people. What I promised everybody is this. First of all, illegal aliens in the state of California are getting free medical, welfare, and housing. Our vets don't get that. We can get into that here in a minute. Okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take all the free programs away and I'm going to give them a 4-year work permit. I'm going to let them pay their California state taxes. I'm going to let them pay federal taxes for the next 4 years. Let them earn the right to be in the United States, to be in California. You use those 4 years as a show of good cause to the federal government, and that's your step into getting your green card. I'm not promising them a green card. What I'm promising them is when I'm in office, they'll be able to be here working legally, paying their taxes, and having a better opportunity to get that green card that they deserve because they've earned it. Now, if you're an immigrant and you do a federal crime, you're going to do our federal time, and then you're getting the heck out of our country. We're going to deport your ass. Okay, but you're going to earn the right to be here. So for Texas and Arizona, their best bet is to get behind me, tell all their friends in California to vote for me, because I will stand next to them and we will secure the border from here all the way to Texas. And I will stand behind them.
The biggest problem I have is the people that are coming here illegally. This is just my opinion. I don't believe they should be afforded any courtesies and they should be immediately rounded up and deported and sent back to where they come from. I don't believe there should be any amnesty. There shouldn't be any. Okay, we're going to let you do this. We're going to let you do that. No, because we have a process for getting your citizenship legally. And we can forget about the Southern, that the South America, that the Southern Triangle down there. We could talk about all the countries in the world, the people here that from Europe and even the Middle East, wherever they're from, and they're here, and they're in the process, waiting online, I call it, for their citizenship, doing it the right way. And then we're going to bring in millions of people over the border that and allow them to stay here and let them work and give them this and give them that when they didn't do it the right way. They deserve nothing. This again, my opinion, and I know a lot of people feel this way, they should be sent back. Children should not be coming here unaccompanied, and we should not be bearing the expense. I'm not saying we can't send them back on that ridiculous journey back. No, we have to transport them back to their loved ones that sent them here and say, I'd rather spend the money on the transport and drop off back for all of these thousands of children than putting them on planes and flying them to places around our country for us to take care of them. We should not be spending $86 million on hotels for illegal immigrants and illegal aliens and feeding them.
I'm not disagreeing with you one bit on what you're saying, and I agree with you. The biggest problem in California and in the United States, and we've lost that power, per se. And I know people are going to, oh, we still have it. No, we don't. We lost it back in the 80s when the Democrats turned their back on Ronald Reagan and didn't help Ronald Reagan do what he... So the Ronald Reagan immigration reform program was set up. We have X amount here. We're going to help these people. But we need to finish the wall. We need to secure the borders. And this can no longer happen. Ronald Reagan kept his portion. The Democrats didn't. See, back in the 60s, 70s, they used to go to your work. If you were illegal, they pick you and rip you out of here and take you back to where we came from. We lost that. Now, unfortunately, our economy right now, especially in California, depends on some of these people. And we could go both ways. Unfortunately, our president right now said, come on over. A lot of the crisis on the border right now are because of the guy who's in office right now, his VP. Donald Trump went and enforced the immigration laws. They reversed them. So my plan isn't to let anybody else come in. So let's get that out of the way.
Sure.
But California is hemorrhaging a shitload of money every month for medical, housing, food, everything you could think of for these people that haven't paid one penny into the California system. Okay. So that's a problem that we need to fix. How do you fix it? You take all that away from them. Yet you let them pay taxes. You let them be here working legally, not citizenship, not green card status, working in the state of California so they can pay back a lot of what they paid. And it'll allow us in California to reduce our taxes across the board. Because right now you have 2/3 of California paying taxes. That's why our taxes are so high, because we're giving all these free programs to people that don't deserve it. Now, if you told me that I'm giving free medical to vets, that I'm giving them free housing, that I'm giving them money, God bless them. They paid a price that nobody will ever do. But instead, you see our veterans sleeping on the sidewalk in tents because our country turned their damn backs on them, on the people that deserve it the most. So we're going to flip the script here. We're going to get the 10 million illegals that are here to pay their fair share of taxes. We're going to reduce California taxes because of it. We're going to actually deregulate California and bring some more jobs back into California. We're going to make it competitive with Nevada and Arizona, so you want to live here again. And we're going to take care of our vets. Our vets are going to be number one. Our VA sucks. They're not doing it right. And if you're a veteran and you're out there and you hurt your arm and you got to wait 6 months to get operated, you'll lose the arm before the 6 months are up. No. Under my administration, you're going to go to your local hospital and they're going to take care of you like you have the best insurance in the world, because you do. You have the California state backing you because you defended our land and you deserve it. And you will not be sleeping homeless ever again.
I can't agree there enough. I mean, our veterans deserve everything. And unfortunately, there are so many homeless vets out there. And you say the illegals that are in the state of California, you want to put them to work. The best job you could give them is to have them go to cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles and have them clean up the human feces on the sidewalk when people like Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, her district, Maxine Waters, who doesn't even live in her district and lives in her million-dollar mansion, doesn't even drink the same water as her constituents, and their districts are disgusting, crime-ridden war zones where people are shooting up in the street, taking craps on the street, and the crime is out of control, like at most other cities now, Democrat-run cities and states, because they want to defund or abolish the police and bow down to the left and these other anti-police organizations. So that's another thing. You have the homelessness in California is off the charts. I mean, from what I see and read. So that alone has to be dealt with. And I know that could be dealt with, you know, getting the economy back running. But I don't even know if that. It seems like such an epidemic. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go.
Our homeless issue is way more than what you just described.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, we have 70% of the homeless population who have mental health issues. So the first thing we're going to do is go back to 1985, fight with the Supreme Court to reverse their law that they put on Ronald Reagan, making him shut down the mental health institutions because they say you can't unlawfully lock somebody up. SB 640 has been sitting at the desk of Gavin Newsom for 2 years. And basically what it states is that if you're my relative, I'm homeless, I got mental health, you have the right to put me in mental health. So we're going to sign that. We're going to open up mental health in the state of California. We're spending $3 billion a year on homeless, and they're not changing anything. So my plan is simple. 70% will go to the mental institutions that we're going to reopen. The other 30%, we're going to take the old warehouse, the old military bases. They're going to help us build our housing. Nothing's free. Get rid of the free program. Free's gone, okay? So they're going to help us. We're going to get a carpenter, an electrician, a plumber, a tile setter. We're going to get trade schools back in California. We're going to start with the homeless. We're going to teach them a trade. They're going to help us build these houses that they're going to be at. They're going to be rehab centers and these facilities. Alcohol, drug, and a counselor. In San Francisco, what you're talking about, it will be against the law to shoot up on the street. It will be against the law to take a shit out in the street. All that's going back to law and order. We are not defunding the police. And if Nancy Pelosi's got a problem, she could come down and live in her damn district for a minute and take her damn fence down and let the homeless live with her. Because the truth is, our career politicians have lost touch on what the real world is today. Nancy Pelosi's been in office longer than I've been alive. And she hasn't been back to California who knows when. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. During COVID, she would stand behind her two $24,000 refrigerators eating $24 ice creams. Most of us didn't even have $25 to put gas in our cars. So I'm going to get rid of all that. Now, we have free shooter clinics that Gavin Newsom opened up. He authorized for me and you, the taxpayers, to go pay for people to go get high. And we got a doctor, the administration, the drugs for you. Enough's enough. They're either going to be a rehab clinic or no clinic at all. You will go to jail if you break the law. We are not defunding the police. As a matter of fact, I got a better program for our police department. I work with them all the time. I know exactly what they go through, but I'm going to give them a better budget to go hire different style of people. If you just graduated from a mental health class, you know, you just graduated from the university and your major was mental health. We're going to offer you a job on the police department. We're going to train you to be a police officer. So you're going to have a mental health expert combined with a police officer. You're going to be both. We're going to have a special department that's going to handle mental health. So your gun stays in your holster when it doesn't need to be out. Now, if somebody out there really thinks that the police don't need to have their hand on their holsters, they need to go do the cop's job for a day. They need to go walk in somebody's house wondering who's in there. They need to pull over a car when you see somebody reach like this. A police officer's got a second to make the right call. Stop picking on them. Let's start funding them. Let's keep them trained the way they are, but let's get them better people equipped for the job that they need, mental health, social services. And we're going to get those people because they're going to have the funding that they need to do it. And how are we going to do it? We're going to cut the budget from all the free crap that we're giving everybody, and we're going to actually put it where it belongs. We're going to fix our water problem in California. The only state that I can tell you that dumps water into the ocean and then says we're in a drought. You know, our infrastructure sucks in California. We have a train to nowhere. And literally, it's from Bakersfield to Fresno. It's not even finished. They spend billions of dollars on it. I'm going to take that funding out for right now, put that project on hold, go back to our infrastructure, get our dams built, get our reservoirs done so we can actually hold 3 years worth of water. Mendocino County up in the northern part of California. You heard of it, the Triangle?
Yes.
They're shipping. They're trucking in water. They're out of water. They're supposed to have a reservoir built in the 50s. All the plants, the land's still there. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to approve it. We're going to cut ground. We're going to build it. We are going to desalination plants. We actually have two of them down in Southern California. Government Brown, before Newsom, shut them down. So we're going to get those going. We're going to work with the private company to make sure that we have enough water. We're going to hold 3 years of reservation of water in the state of California. Our assets of water, we're going to work with our neighbors like Arizona, who's pretty dry. We're going to work with Las Vegas, where we can make a pipeline, shipping them water so they can pay for the revenue of what it costs to do this.
Right. It's amazing. Even federally, we went from being energy independent, and now we're going to be dependent on everything, and we're going to give all of the we're giving the power of energy to Russia and it's other places, and we're going to be back to being dependent on other countries for what we need and the individual states need. Like I can't even fathom that. Trucking in water.
Mm-hmm.
So to worry about having a 3-year supply of water. I mean, that just that alone, that you should, that should never even have to be said. There should be, the infrastructure should be, with all the money we spend. And I go back to this ridiculous COVID package that they passed, where we gave $40 billion to universities. We gave $15 billion to airlines. We gave $360 or $390 million to San Francisco, which wiped out 92% of their deficit that wasn't caused from COVID, was caused from mismanaging from years before. But because it's a blue state and it's Nancy Pelosi's district, they got that in the COVID bill in the guise of it's COVID relief, and it wasn't COVID relief. So billions and billions and billions of dollars that could be pumped into real physical infrastructure, not the fairy tale infrastructure that Democrats think of, like free housing and healthcare and childcare for women and for their kids. No, that's not infrastructure. And it's just this frivolous spending on a federal level. It's going to get so bad and affect states so bad. I can't fathom what it's going to take for federally and the states to get out from behind this giant debt and the damage it's doing on our country. New York, our governor Cuomo, the creep that he is, he wants to give $15,000 to illegal aliens. $15,000.
Illegal again.
I hear that from a lot of people. But it's amazing. And you know, California is obviously not the only state with its problems. My state is just unbelievably, disgustingly horrible with the way it's being run. We have a governor who thinks he's a king, who has two scandals between COVID and like 9 women, and he gets defended by Democratic women and all of these organizations. It is unbelievable. If there was a Republican governor in New York and he had the COVID scandal and the sexual harassment scandal that he's skating under both of them, he would be out. He would be either impeached by the state, forced to resign. It would be unbelievable, because it's happened in the past with governors, with Republican governors. But back to California, because we'll take Los Angeles. I wanted to talk about this. You have a DA in Los Angeles now, Gascon, who they're starting to recall now, who basically, he supports criminals. He brought into his inner circle other defense attorneys who hate the police. One of them would like to see the police completely abolished and the criminal system, justice system completely overhauled. How does, I mean, Los Angeles, one of the largest cities, how does a DA who hates the police and loves criminals and criminality get to be the district attorney of the city of Los Angeles? How does that happen?
It's the corruption in our state, and it's what we need to fix. And that's why it's time to get rid of the career politicians, get rid of the poor families that are running our state and our country to the ground. It's actually time that, and I'll say this, Gavin Newsom says that his recall is done on Trump lovers, Republican Party. No, this is a bipartisan, because look at this. 4 million people voted for John Cox, who ran for governor last time as a Republican. We needed 1.4 million, 1.5 million signatures. It took us almost 8 months to get them. So if it was a Republican only, I could have gotten half the people that voted for John Cox to go out there, and it would have been done in 30 days. It didn't happen until he went and ate at that fancy, nice restaurant at $800 a plate and telling us that we can't have our families over for Thanksgiving. Now, Gastone is another guy that we're going to recall. He's been in office 90 days, enough for us to be able to go in there and be able to get him out. We're doing the recall because if you're here, if you're a district attorney, and listen very well, I'm going to have an attorney general who will prosecute you if you don't do your damn job and prosecute the criminals and do what you got paid to do, because you're the criminal now. So Gastone better pray that they actually do recall him before I get into office, because we will prosecute him and we will hold him accountable for every murder that happened in his city during the time that he was in office and he refused to prosecute. Just the other day, murder happened and he let the guy walk. That will not happen anymore. Law and order will happen in the state of California, come hell or high water. And if you think that a county or a city is going to defund anything, they can defund all the police they want. I will remove their funding from that city for whatever they defunded that police, and I will hire California State Police to go over there and patrol that area. I will rehire every officer they fire, and I will make sure that the public safety is number one, and I will go after anybody who says it's not. I want everybody in California to be accountable, whether that's the governor or the janitor. I don't care who you are. You break the law, you're going to jail. We will prosecute Maxine Waters for the hate crimes that she has committed in the last year. We will go after Nancy Pelosi. We'll go after Gavin Newsom. I don't care. If I can prove it, you're going to jail. My name's not Donald Trump, and I'm not scared. I am not going to let somebody tell me how to run my administration, and we will run the law and order. And I think that's one of the biggest problems Donald Trump faced, is that he did not prosecute. He should have prosecuted Joe Biden for a quid pro quo that he bragged about. You don't get your billions of dollars if you don't remove this guy from office. That's quid pro quo. He went on national television, said it. Nobody went after him. So guess what? In the state of California, we will not tolerate that. I will go after Maxine Waters for interfering in that jury trial in Minnesota, because that cost a mistrial.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, in defense of the presidency itself, you know, the president is one individual, and unfortunately, we had with the career politicians in the swamp in Congress and everything that goes along with it, with impeachment and various stages of what needs to be done to either bring up charges against somebody and prosecute and the
Don't get me wrong, I voted for Donald Trump twice, and if he ran tomorrow, I vote for him again.
Sure.
But I learned from his mistakes, and that's the way you got to look at it. He did not have an attorney general with enough balls to actually keep digging and keep prosecuting. Oh, I'll let this guy do it. I'll let that guy do it. No, yeah. Get off your ass and do it yourself, because you know everybody's corrupt under you. I knew that he couldn't fire everybody. I knew he couldn't change anything. But if you send a message, people start throwing lightly around you.
I do believe there were a lot of people that said they were loyal to Donald Trump that weren't and were doing other things behind the scenes in high positions. I do believe that. It's insanity. What I wanted to ask you, and I think I already know the answer, but if you get elected as California's next governor, will you please put a ban on critical race theory being taught in schools?
I got a better one for you. You know, our biggest problem in California in our education, we're number 48 out of the nation. People don't know that. We're one of the worst. Okay? Everything that we get taxed on says it goes to our schools. Well, I'm going to do a Ronald Reagan approach. I'm going to call the school unions, sit in front of me. Racial teachings, sexual teachings, all this crap that we're teaching is coming to a halt, and it's coming to a halt fast. And it's going to be very simple. All the school unions are going to be in front of me, and I'm going to say, I need you to go back to work tomorrow. No more mask mandates, no more vaccination. I don't care if the kid's been vaccinated or not. That's the parent's choice, not yours. And you will not teach or tell my kid that's a little girl that she needs to be a little boy because you're not a psychologist. I want you to do your job, teach the right education. And they're going to look at me and they're going to go like, screw you. And I'm going to go, I agree. Screw me. I accept all your resignations. Have a good life. Then I'm going to hire all new teachers, and we're going to redo the education system back in California for education. No more transgender bullshit in classes. No more racial profiling. Because I heard this the other day. I heard a teacher tell a little white kid, hey, tell them that you're privileged. He's in a bad school, in a bad school district. He's not privileged. He had to walk to school today. You do not ever shame anybody for the race that they are. That teacher would have been fired. Had I been the governor, I would have gone down there and fired her ass myself. Because you do not ever shame anybody. And you know the privilege? We're all privileged to be Americans. We're all privileged to live in this country. We're all privileged to have an opportunity to be anything we want. And for somebody to say somebody's more privileged than the other, they're mistaken. They wouldn't be in the same classroom with you if they were privileged. They would have been in some Ivy League private school like Gavin Newsom's kids.
Right.
But they sure as hell wouldn't be in a public school.
The public school system in America now is under attack by the left with the critical race theory and the identity politics. They're teaching kids to look at skin. When I grew up, I was taught you don't look at the color of somebody's skin. You look at the person. You see past it. You see past color. You see past religion, creed. And you see the person. And now they want to bring the segregation back. They want to teach kids to judge by skin color. They want to teach kids that this group is the oppressed, this group is the oppressor, and teach victimology, segregation by identity, whether it's, oh, if you're a boy and you want to be a girl, and you know, pronouns and drag queens reading in schools to kids, and all of these programs where we have an assistant health secretary that wants to advocate for a kid to go to their school nurse and say, hey, I want to be put on puberty blockers because I want to be a girl and I'm a boy and I don't want to tell my parents. And they want to make it legal for the school nurse to say, okay, we don't have to tell your parents. That's your right. They want to take away the right for parents to protect their children. It is so important. And I'm seeing it now where I am. This critical race theory is sneaking into schools. The gender identities are sneaking into schools. I was just shown something the other day from a school district near me, a math question about if you have this many people that are identifying as male and these many people that are identifying as binary, it's unbelievable and it's unacceptable. But I'm happy.
Your gender, your race should be taught at home. It's between your parents, God, and that's it. Your teachers need to stay the hell out of there and actually remember that they're there to teach math, English, science, and economics. They're not there to teach a kid what sexuality they are, what race they are. That is none of their damn business, and they will cut that out of the state of California, or they will not be teaching in the state of California. So hopefully New York has enough room for all these teachers to go, because we don't want them here. We want real teachers that want to educate our kids because they're our future. And that's the only way we're going to do it. We're going to get the government away from your personal life. We're going to get the government away from your home. Your kid at 13 years old should not be able to walk in the doctor's office and tell mom, that's none of your business. You need to stay out here. Oh, bullshit. I pay the bills at home. I raised you. I feed you. I clothed you. It's my damn business. I'm walking in and the doctor needs to back off. And this is a shame that we have gotten this country to that point. It's a shame that our politicians forgot one thing. I work for you. I work for 40 million people, and 40 million people I have to respond to every day. That means when I'm at Lowe's, at Home Depot, wherever the hell I'm at, you should be able to come and talk to me. I don't need 50 million CHP covering me. Guess what? I make my bed, I'll lay in it.
And that's where politicians forget. They forget that they are the servant of the people. They are hired by the people, elected by the people, and they serve the people. The people are not your subjects. They're not beneath you. They're not your peasants. They are the ones you work for, and they are the ones you have to answer to. I'm happy that you said that. That is you don't hear many people say that. Well, you hear it from non-career politicians who want to work for the people. And I to me that's so important to hear as an American voter. I had on my show Alex Stovall. He's a 26-year-old African-American conservative running for Congress in Arizona. And he's a military chaplain, and he said it best. He said, I'm a servant of the people. I'm here to serve the people. I work for the people. You will never hear people like Nancy Pelosi say that. You will never hear people like Maxine Waters say that, the two most vile women in Congress. You won't hear Joe Biden say that. You'll hear him say something stupid like, we the people are the government. No, we the people are not the government, Joe Biden. You are not the people. Right. You work for us. Right. Diego, I want everyone. I've noticed in the past couple months, I actually have a lot of listeners in California, whether they're listening to me because they hate me or they're listening to me because they like me. I know I have some supporters and fans in California. Where can people find your campaign website? How can they support you? How can they come out and volunteer? How do people find you, Diego?
Well, the easiest way to find me, I'm at my office every day, 65 East St. Charles Street in San Andreas. I know that sounds funny, but really I am. I'm a working guy just like everybody else. That's why I know that the government works for us. And if I become the governor of California, I work for the people of California, not the other way around. But DiegoMartinezForGovernor.com is the easiest way. Go up on the tab. You can go to Team Diego if you want to volunteer. We put our calendar on there so you know where I'm at. There's a donate button at the bottom. Please use it. I could use all the help. I've been self-funding this since March of 2020. I need to get into the big races with the big guys. We're trying to save enough money right now to get on television, to get some commercials, to get our message out so we could really use that out. Thursday mornings, Waking Up California with Diego Martinez on Instagram and Facebook at 9 a.m. Every Thursday morning, I allow anybody. I don't care your party. I want everybody to understand this real quick before we go. Both parties have failed us. I'm proud to be a Republican. I'm ashamed of the Republican Party. There's a difference there, and I hope people understand what I'm talking about. And the Democratic Party has failed the Democratic people. I urge the California people for once, don't worry about your party. Vote for the best person. The best person is going to make this happen for us. That best person right now, and I've looked at every candidate, is Diego Martinez. 100%. I'm reaching out to the Hispanic community. I'm reaching out to the immigrants. I'm reaching to everybody. I don't care your party lines. Come join me Thursday mornings, Waking Up California with Diego Martinez. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, all your social media, Diego Martinez for Governor. If you go on my Facebook, you can laugh on this one. Facebook wouldn't allow me to put 2022. So it's Diego Martinez for Governor 2020. And because I wasn't official on the California roster yet, because I didn't know how to do it, you know, you're new to this.
Sure.
In March, so it says unofficial. And they would not let me remove that. Now I use it as a joke. You want to find the real candidate? It's the one that they won't let you be official. That's me. So when it says unofficial, it has all my stuff on there. Help, volunteer, pass the word to donate. I don't care what state you're at. I take all donations. You know, I had a lady give me $5 the other day.
Okay.
And it really touched me. I ended up sending her a t-shirt. It cost me more than that to make because I know that $5 was all she had. And I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who helps me. And I say this to people, if you don't have the money that you can help me, share and like my videos, let everybody know who I am. That's sometimes greater than any dollar bill you could ever give me. But everything goes into my campaign. I'm not living off the money. I'm at my office. I'm at work every day. I travel California. I put over 70,000 miles in my car in the last 6 months. I'm up and down California. When I need to come to work, I come back north of California and go to work. So I'm on the road 7 days a week, and I'm pretty much working every day. And I'm here to work for the California people just as hard.
The working man, the businessman, Diego Martinez, Republican candidate for California governor, Diego Martinez for governor.com. All of your social media and website will be in the show notes for everyone. Go check it out. Go to the website, read up on Diego, contact him, volunteer, donate, read up on all the candidates. And you heard it from Diego. He wants to work from you. If you don't hear those words come out of a candidate's mouth, or you don't hear those words come out of a candidate's mouth, you know if they're full of crap or not. Usually when they're a career politician, they're full of crap, or they won't say, I'm here to work for the people. When someone says they're there to work for the people and show it, and they're a regular guy or a regular woman running for office, take that at their word. And look into that candidate a little bit more like Diego. He wants to work for the people. And to me, that's the most important thing of being a candidate. Diego, I'm really happy you came on. Where, you know, we'll spread the message. I'm going to maybe down the road, we'll do another update, see how the campaign's going. We'll have you on again. Again, everybody, Diego Martinez, Republican candidate, Diego Martinez for governor.com. Diego, thanks a lot for coming on.
No, thank you. And it's an honor to be on here with you. And I'm going to tell you everything. I tell you, everybody who does podcasts with me, because that's the biggest support I've gotten. When I come into office, you guys get the first exclusive. You can come out to California, sit in there with me and see everything, because it'll be my honor to have you guys there, because you guys are the reason why I will get there. Thank you.
Well, that would be a trip worth taking to California, because I've never been there. Again, Diego, thank you. Remember, everybody, check out the episodes, thegreatdivide1776.com. Everything in the show will be in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening and for watching. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. And most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.